Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church and our weekly podcast, Today's Word from our weekly sermon. So we're looking at the third in a series on hope, this from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. But those who have suffered will no longer be in pain. The territories of Zebulun and Naphtali in Galilee were once hated, but this land of the Gentiles across the Jordan River and along the Mediterranean Sea will be greatly respected. Those who walked in the dark have seen a great light, and it shines upon everyone who lives in the land of darkest shadows. Our Lord, you have made your nation stronger. Because of you, its people are glad and celebrate like workers at harvest time or like soldiers dividing up what they have taken. You have broken the power of those who abused and enslaved your people. You have rescued them just as you saved your people from Midian. The boots of the marching warriors and the bloodstained uniforms have been fed to the flames and eaten by fire. A child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord, all-powerful, will make certain that all of this is done. So as I mentioned, here we are at the second Sunday in Advent, not the third, and we are waiting. I'm not particularly a patient man. I like things to happen quickly. In fact, I have two sayings displayed prominently in my office. One is dream big, scale back. And the other is Nike's just do it. That is, don't wait for your dreams and your plans to materialize out of thin air. Make plans, change them as needed, and do it. Not next year, not next week, now. But Advent is a season of waiting. Christmas is coming, but not yet. One year, my sister Sue and I were so impatient Christmas Eve for Christmas morning to arrive, we ran downstairs ready to open our packages at 3 a.m., just after Santa's helpers had just finished putting everything under the tree. I remember that one particular Santa's helper not very happy. So my favorite part of the Advent and Christmas season is not waiting. What is your favorite? The cookies? The Otisville Brass Quintet concert, Christmas Eve services. What part are you breathlessly waiting for? Perhaps for the wild reception your spouse will give you when they see that special gift you got them. Shopping for all those gifts is hard. Trying to get something that will be appreciated but doesn't break the bank. I love car commercials this time of year. Yep, that's what I'm giving Sue, a new car with a big red bow on it. Yeah, no. There's no room in the budget for that, ever. But perhaps the automotive companies point out intentionally, unintentionally, of course, in the right direction. What we're waiting for and hoping for this Christmas, I hope, is far less commercial than a new car or a diamond bracelet or even a new gaming system or a new car. What many of us are hoping for is peace and joy and love and comfort and a sense of hope that whatever we have been struggling with this year will be resolved. And we will once again know that God is with us. We want sure knowledge, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge that God is with us. We need to see God, something that would give us peace and joy. The kind of peace of joy we see in little children this time of year. We need to somehow dive into that pool of trust and serenity they seem to have. They're so excited that the Christmas season is here, and they are sure that they will be blessed. How about you? I've got to say, I love when a small child gets a wrapped present that comes in a box, and what they fall in love with is the box. If only we could embrace that kind of simplicity once again. If only we could see God as clearly as we see that box and that child. Perhaps we can. But only if we remember what Christmas is really all about. The arrival of the child. That's the key. It's not about presents, the trees, the decorations, the parties, not even eggnog. It's about the child. The child Isaiah talks about right here in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Remember that the arrival of Jesus was into a pretty grim world, one sure full of faith, but a faith that was so heavy and so hard and so much wanted to see God enter into human experience and change things. The people in Israel lived in a land that had been under occupation by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Seleucids of Syria, and now the Romans. The Jewish people knew God had promised to come and save them, set them free, but for centuries they had lived under oppression and been taken advantage of. A modern equivalent might be Ukraine, where neighboring Russia invaded, occupied the country, destroyed its infrastructure, and now, entering winter, has destroyed much of its power structure, making sure that Ukrainians will suffer through a miserable, cold, hungry winter. The Israelites of Jesus' day would have understood very well that kind of misery. And it's into that misery that Isaiah speaks. He tells us hope is coming. War will end. Occupation will be over. Because of a child. The child. Speaking almost 700 years before the Nativity, just as the Assyrian Empire began to aggressively expand, he told the Israelite people about hope. Not something that would happen in a day or two, but something that would change everything. Because in this child, God's people would see the hope God had prepared from the beginning of the world. God would enter history incarnate, living in the person of Jesus. And in Jesus, the world would finally begin to understand God's plan and God's purpose for humanity. And we would finally experience in him the peace, joy, love, comfort, and sense of hope that God has always intended for us. Because of the child. So see him and know him, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today as we've talked through this second in the sermon series on hope. If you'd like to contact us with an email, otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com, or you can go to our website, www.otisvillepress.org, and you can find out all kinds of things about our congregation. Thanks for stopping by. We'll be right back.